Watching the news these past few weeks, stories about gun violence in France and in Colorado and California, I was reminded of my first experience of watching news stories about irrational gun violence. I was 12 years old in November of 1963 when President Kennedy was assassinated. 2 days after that assassination, I went to the adult worship service at the Unitarian Universalist Church. The sanctuary that Sunday was filled. One historian said later that that Sunday, nationwide attendance in church was up 20%. Now, years later, I don't remember what the minister said in his sermon. He must have talked about the assassination. Perhaps he reflected on the feelings of grief and shock and sadness and anxiety for the future that people felt that day. I don't remember. What I do remember is that I was there. As a child, I learned that this is what we do after a national loss. We attend a worship service. Many years later, I happened to fly to the San Francisco Bay Area just a week after the 1989 earthquake. Due to the sports coverage of the 1989 World Series, it was the first major earthquake in the United States that was broadcast live on national television. I was attending meetings a week later at the Unitarian Universalist Seminary in Berkeley. So I ended up talking to many of my colleagues who served churches in places like Oakland and Berkeley and San Francisco. They said that the Sunday after the earthquake, people came to church. The sanctuaries, the pews, they were full. This is what we do after an earthquake. We go to church. And this happened again in September of 2001. People felt that they needed to be together in churches and in temples. The Sunday after the murder of 3,000 people, we came to church. The sanctuaries and the pews were full. This is what we do after a national tragedy. We go to our religious communities. We attend worship services. Of course, personal, private issues also bring us to church. Every Sunday, people come here to this sanctuary after they have experienced a private loss. It may be a death in their family, or a job loss, or separation from a partner, or the loss of friends after moving here to Sarasota. It may be a recent loss, or it may be that they come here on the anniversary of something that happened to them years ago. We come to a worship service hoping to feel a little better, hoping to be reminded that life is worth living. And one of the ways this happens for me here in this space is from the music. When I hear marvelous music and when I sing hymns, I have moments of intense emotional affirmation. Now, only a few of us have disabilities that make singing impossible. If you were told as a young person that you're not a good singer and not open your mouth when other people are singing, whoever told you that was wrong. You can sing if you don't have a disability. So I encourage you to participate in worship by singing. Of course, singing requires a willingness to be vulnerable. When we participate in worship, we are vulnerable. But in our church, in Unitarian Universalist worship, we do not judge or evaluate each other's singing skills. This is a loving, accepting congregation, and we do not criticize each other's singing. In my own case, every Sunday I have moments of struggle when I find myself out of tune or stumbling with the tempo. At such times, I listen to you, listen for a voice strong enough to carry me along. But often singing is not a struggle. I have moments when the hymn fills me with intense emotions, and I cry and I smile at the same time. The singing shakes me to my roots, and I'm glad that I'm here and glad I am alive. So when you come here to worship, I invite you to take part in the singing. The rest of us, by the way, are not singing for your entertainment. Your active participation in hymn singing is vitally important for the worship experience. In addition to the music, the words of the readings and the sermon are also part of the worship experience. In this church, we follow a design that was created by Martin Luther. Before the Protestant Reformation, Catholic worship was a weekly reenactment of the Last Supper, with the communion of wine and bread as the central focus. However, Luther believed that people should have a direct encounter with the words of the Bible. Most of his congregation could not read, and even if they could read, they could not afford the price of a Bible back then. So each Sunday, Luther would do a reading from the Bible. But often, by itself, it was hard to understand the context of the reading or the relevance of it for our modern life or the modern life of people during the Reformation. Therefore, Luther introduced the sermon as a talk in which he would teach about the biblical reading. Martin Luther modeled the sermon after a university lecture, making Sunday morning worship an intellectual experience. So Luther de-emphasized the importance of communion and replaced it with the sermon, teaching about the scripture. Today, most Unitarian Universalist ministers no longer read a passage from the Bible and then explain it to the congregation. We use the Bible, but not as the Word of God, but as a valuable historical and religious document of human origin, one scripture among many from the great world religions. Readings on Sunday come from many sources, including science and poetry. And these days, Unitarian Universalist sermons cover many topics. And while the congregation is not encouraged to criticize each other's singing, members are free to agree or disagree with what the minister says. And this has led to the development of a sermon rating system. 1, G sermons. They are generally acceptable to everyone, full of inoffensive platitudes, usually described as wonderful and marvelous. The minister panders to the congregational prejudices while planning on a long tenure. The sermon is always forgotten by 12:30 in the afternoon. 2, PG, parental guidance sermons. For a more mature congregation, it is sometimes relevant to today's issues, may even contain mild suggestions for change. Often described as challenging or thought-provoking, even though no one intends to take any action. The minister is a safe prophet. 3, R sermons. Definitely restricted to those not upset by the truth. This sermon tells it like it is, threatens the comfortable, most often described as controversial or depressing, usually indicates that the minister has an outside source of income. Visitors are shocked. And then there are the X-rated sermons, a limited audience. It really socks it to them. It is the kind of sermon that landed Jeremiah in the well, got Amos run out of town, and set up the crucifixion of Jesus. Always described as in poor taste, the minister who preaches this sermon had better had a suitcase packed and life insurance policy paid up. Of course, such a code is more than humorous. It points to a fundamental reality of Unitarian Universalist worship. We come together with people who have different needs, people who have different tastes, people who believe in different theologies, and people who bring very different expectations. Some of you like the wonderful classical European music. Others like folk music. Still others would prefer electric guitars, electric organs, and drums. Some of you like sermons that are intellectual. Others want a sermon that is so emotional it leaves the whole congregation in tears. Many things can make a worship service uncomfortable for you. A hymn or a reading or a story may remind you of a painful time during your childhood. The traditional symbols of religion, including words like God and prayer, even the word worship, may have negative associations for you. Attempts at innovation, like using a screen instead of a hymnal, may appear strange and out of place. The service may leave out a symbol that you have come to associate with worship. With this element missing, you may feel more of a stranger than part of a community. A speaker, the minister, may remind you of a parent, or remind you of a sibling, or of a teacher, or a boss, or an ex-spouse with whom you have had a bitter, difficult experience. One woman said to me, "Roger, you are just like my ex-husband, and I hate my ex-husband." This time of gathering on Sunday morning tests our tolerance and challenges our ability to be open and accepting of others. So part of the worship experience for us here in this space is sacrifice. We sacrifice some of our preferences to be together in a worshiping community. We sacrifice some of our freedom to criticize the music or the readings or the sermon because unlimited freedom to criticize endangers our ongoing relationships. If part of the worship service is not exactly what you want, not exactly what you would have chosen yourself, stop for a moment, breathe, relax. Remember, it may be exactly what speaks to someone else. Meaningful worship in community can only be found through sacrifice of our individual preferences. It can only be found through tolerance. Each week we work to overcome our differences to create a worshiping community. If we are open to the experience, the music and the words may work in such a way that we feel in this room a sense of affirmation. We feel reassured that life is worth all that goes into it. that in spite of our troubles, we are glad that we are alive. Now, if this happens to you, I suspect it's not only because of the music and the words, but because you are in a community. Now, you can, these days, sit at home and watch good Unitarian Universalist ministers and sermons and choirs on the World Wide Web. But it's not really worship unless at least two or three are gathered together. So we leave our screens. We travel from our homes, and we gather here week after week, year after year. Unitarian Universalist worship is a weekly meeting of a community. The central purpose of the rituals we go through each week is to renew our connections to each other. The greetings, the handshakes, the smiles that take place before the service renew the ties to community. The opening hymn is a ritual that ties us to an old tradition of churches beginning their services with song. The lighting of our chalice and the readings and the hymns define us as part of the Unitarian Universalist movement across the United States, and I can say in Australia and New Zealand and the United Kingdom and other places. The sermon is a weekly exploration of the values of our religious community. The communion of coffee and conversation after the service helps sustain the connections between people. Personally, in experiencing community through the words and the music and the coffee hour, I experience something else. I feel connected to a force that is larger than myself, larger than the community of which I feel a part. The experience of a worshiping community sometimes produces within me an influx of life and power, a feeling of wholeness. I sometimes feel the presence of what, for the lack of a better word, the presence of God. I cannot force this experience into existence for others. I can only try to be open to it myself and encourage you to be open to it. Being in a community where I feel trust, where I feel safe, I can lower my normal defenses so that I have a greater openness to both inner and outer reality. Put another way, the more I can let go of my hatred and my anger and my fear and feel love for others, the more I can be open to the community of worship. When this happens, I feel part of a vast, all-pervasive unity. The whole feels more than the sum of its parts. I feel part of a mystery that exists independent of the categories of space and time. I felt this, or something like it, back in 1963 when I gathered with other Unitarian Universalists to worship the Sunday after the assassination of the president. My family went to church that day because we knew there we would find other people seeking the same kind of encounter that we were seeking. All of us together, grieving a loss, reassuring each other that in spite of this loss, life was still worth all that went into it. This happens again and again. In California, on the Sunday after an earthquake, people came to church to be together. On September 16th, 2001, people went to church to be together, to reassure each other, and to try to make sense of all that had happened. In 2015, as news reaches us of shootings in France and in Colorado and in California, we gather again to worship. We come to our weekly service, hoping to feel a little better, hoping to be reminded that in spite of these tragedies, life is still good, still worth living. We join in songs and words with our fellow worshipers to transcend our isolation, to move beyond our individuality, and to become part of a greater whole. When the service works, we feel different about ourselves and the world for having gone through the experience. In the words of Adrian Rich, "My heart is moved by all I cannot save. So much has been destroyed. I have to cast my lot with those who age after age, perversely, with no extraordinary power, reconstitute the world." This is Unitarian Universalist worship. We are here to reconstitute the world. It is a shared emotion, a feeling of wholeness, transcending isolation. Through music, through the views out our windows, through the words, through laughter, through silence, through a smile exchange between two people on Sunday morning, worship does occur.